Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Dynasty Team Preview here on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and you can follow me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL, and joined by Koopa as always. So on this one, we have the San Francisco 49ers, the defending NFC champions that we're going to go over here. Head coach Kyle Shanahan still. Chris Forster is the offensive coordinator. Some key players who left this offseason, not too many. Sam Darnold, Ray McLeod, Charlie Warner, those guys all left this offseason, so nobody like spectacular or super important. Targets vacated, air yards, 25 targets, 169 yards is missing, so not very much at all here from the 49ers. Quarterbacks are pretty simple too. Go ahead and hit us with the quarterbacks here, Koopa.
Yeah, so you got Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, who's not very irrelevant anymore. PFF grade of 87.4, sixth out of 38 quarterbacks last year. He's a really good quarterback. He does exactly what this team asks him to do. He's able to dish the ball out, and their entire offense is designed about dishing the ball out to the right playmakers at the right time, and Brock Purdy is able to do that, and that helps him out from a fantasy perspective. So he's able to be effective, but he's not ever going to be the kind of quarterback that just completely takes over a game and goes nuts and scores you a ton of points. So there is a little bit of a ceiling on him. And realistically, from a warp perspective, Mike has talked about this a bunch, and I'm in agreement with him, that he's not really anything different than a lot of your other like high-end quarterbacks, where you're talking like your Tua Tagovailoas, and even if you talk like up to the range of somebody like a Joe Burrow, like there's a cap ceiling there. He's not going to get up into that range where you're having the rushing level quarterbacks. Like he just cannot hit that consistently. Backup new this year is Josh Dobbs. Last season, PFF grade of 65.9, which was 28th of 38. So realistically, for an NFL quarterback, Josh Dobbs was not great, but for fantasy purposes, he was really good because he'd put everything on his back. He would take off running. He would do all kinds of stuff to try and will the team to victory, which is good for fantasy points. So if for whatever reason Brock Purdy gets injured, Josh Dobbs is definitely someone that I want to have, especially with this offense and the weapons that they have. I could see Josh Dobbs like sneakily just all of a sudden turning into like a consistent top 10 quarterback week after week with all the stuff going on here. They also have Brandon Allen, who I think has been stuck around with this team for a little while, as their third quarterback, and so he's somebody that I expect to kind of just be that third quarterback suiting up on game day. And then they also got Tanner Mordecai as a UDFA from Wisconsin this past year. I don't necessarily see Tanner Mordecai making the team. Maybe if they decide they don't like Brandon Allen as much, like they could end up keeping Mordecai. But I think he's either more likely a full cut or just say a practice squad kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, I echo a lot of the things you said about Brock Purdy. I don't think he's ever going to be some top 12 dynasty quarterback, but he's a really good point guard who just distributes the ball. You know, he doesn't make too many mistakes. So, yeah, he fits perfect for what Kyle Shanahan wants right now. And I'm really intrigued by Josh Dobbs in this offense. If, you know, Purdy were to go down again for an injury, I definitely agree with you. I could see Josh Dobbs as a QB1 weekly if he ends up getting multiple starts there. So I am excited for him. I agree with you. Probably Purdy, Dobbs, and Allen make the team, and Mordecai probably as a practice squad guy. So on to the running backs here. So obviously the man, Christian McCaffrey, his PFF grade last year, 90.3, second of 59. Elijah Mitchell is still here. Isaac Garendo, who they drafted in the fourth round. Jordan Mason, Patrick Taylor, who they picked up from the Packers this offseason, and Cody Schrader, a UDFA out of Missouri. They kept four running backs last year plus a fullback, so they'll definitely be keeping the fullback again this year. And four running backs is probably likely again. I'm going to go McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, Garendo, and I think I like Jordan Mason, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's Patrick Taylor over Jordan Mason, just because Patrick Taylor can offer some special teams ability as well. Real quick here on Isaac Garendo. Overall, Garendo doesn't have an impressive body of work, but his build, explosiveness, and ability on passing downs, blocking, and receiving suggests his NFL resume will far outshine what he did in college. If he can stay healthy along with competing on special teams, he projects best in a one-cut outside zone scheme that will give him runways to show off his speed. His PFF grade last year was 89.1, 132 carries, 810 yards, and 11 touchdowns, 22 catches on 24 targets for 234 yards, 84.2 in a zone scheme and 86.9 in a gap scheme. And then he had 543 yards after contact and 31 missed tackles forced for Isaac Garendo. What do you think about the running backs here for the 49ers?
Christian McCaffrey, obviously, you want him. He's going to be a top running back this season. He's ranked as running back one. Realistically, I think probably the only reason he wouldn't hit that again is just if he got hurt. Christian McCaffrey, definitely somebody you want. Elijah Mitchell, top-tier backup. If for whatever reason Christian McCaffrey does miss time, Elijah Mitchell is going to be able to step up and carry a lot of the workload for this team. Isaac Garendo, I don't know how much of a running back role he necessarily gets, because I don't think he outplays Elijah Mitchell to get the full backup job. But I think his value is just going to be being on the roster. I think he's probably going to end up being the kick returner for this team. And so that's something that I'm very interested in terms of, hey, he'll be on this roster. He'll be effective in the backfield. And then that fourth guy, as you were talking about, it's a toss-up between Jordan Mason and Patrick Taylor. On Patrick Taylor, we saw him start to get a little bit of a run with Green Bay towards the end of the season last year and in the playoffs. And Jordan Mason, the 49ers have also shown that they like him, that they've shown that when they need a third running back to go to, that they'll go to Jordan Mason. And so knowing that both of those guys have, by their respective teams, they got some run towards the end of the last season, it makes me think that it's definitely a battle between them of how can we, which one of them is going to make it, and probably whichever one doesn't ends up on the practice squad, which then makes me really worried about Cody Schrader. Cody Schrader, somebody who a lot of people were drafting, at least back in May, like in the fifth round of their rookie drafts, like picking like one of their top ads off of waivers afterwards, things like that. Like, I just don't see how he has room to even make this roster unless he really, really shows out in camp. Like, I think that he not only doesn't make the roster, like, I think he's on the verge of not even making the practice squad. So it's not really looking good for him.
Yeah, I mean, I push back a little bit on that because Schrader is pretty talented. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he pulls the Jordan Mason, who was undrafted, and he takes Jordan Mason's spot. So that doesn't, you know, I don't rule it out. I still have Schrader on a lot of teams. But we'll see what happens. Like, I could see your scenario playing out as well, where they just don't have the spot for him. But the guy led the SEC in rushing last year at Missouri. So he wasn't even on like a Georgia or an Alabama or anything. So we'll see what happens there with Schrader. I'm going to definitely keep an eye on him during the preseason. Wide receivers here. So obviously Brandon Ayuk, his PFF grade last year was 91.5, second of 128, in a little bit of a contract dispute. Hopefully before training camp starts, they get that all corrected. Otherwise, I could see Ayuk kind of being a little bit of a disappointment this year, just kind of being a little baby about his contract. Debo Samuel, his PFF grade last year was 85.4, 12th of 128. If Ayuk does miss some time, Debo's going to have to step up and be the guy here again. They drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round. They also have Juwan Jennings, who they just gave a pretty decent contract to for a backup wide receiver. His PFF grade last year was 74.1, 37th of 128. So really good year for basically a third wide receiver. Ronnie Bell, who they drafted in the seventh round in 2023. Jacob Cowing, they drafted in the fourth round this year out of Arizona. They also have veteran Chris Conley, Danny Gray, who they drafted in the third round a few years ago, who's just been riddled with injuries. Trent Taylor, who was on this team years ago, has come back. Tay Martin and Tariq Owens, a UDFA out of Missouri State. So they kept six wide receivers last year on their 53. I think it's going to be Ayuk, Samuel, Pearsall, Jennings. Those guys are locks. I would say Jacob Cowing is pretty close to a lock, being a fourth-round pick. And then that last spot's probably open between Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley, and Danny Gray, and Trent Taylor. I mean, literally a four-way battle there for that last six-receiver spot. So we'll see what happens there. Brugler on Pearsall really quick. Overall, Pearsall wasn't a home run hitter on tape, but he has a reliable receiving option with the route quickness and ball skills to quickly become a favorite target for an NFL quarterback. He has the skill set and toughness to work inside or outside and return punts at the next level. His PFF grade last year was 77.2, 65 catches, 87 targets, 963 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Played on 460 pass snaps, 194 in the slot, and 260 out wide, so versatile, can play both. Two drops, 5.8 yak, which was tied for 160th, and his ADOT was 11 yards at 228th in the country, 11 catches for 342 on deep balls, and 43 for 559 in the slot. And then lastly, I want to give some shout out to Jacob Cowing. Overall, Cowing is limited in areas by his size, smaller catch radius, average play strength, but he can separate vertically and specialize in getting open underneath. He projects as a dependable slot option and can become a regular NFL starter with some route pacing tweaks. PFF grade last year was 77.2, 89 catches, 121 targets, 868 yards, 13 touchdowns, 472 pass snaps, 331 in the slot, 138 out wide, 6 drops, needs to correct that a little bit, 5.8 yak, which is tied for 160th in the country, 6.7 ADOT, not very far, and 6 catches for 184 on deep balls, and 62 for 571 in the slot. So, with that, go ahead and talk about the wide receivers, Gubba.
Yeah, so I think that as long as Brandon Ayuk gets his contract situation under control, he is a top wide receiver that you're interested in. Fringe like wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two. And then Deebo Samuel is a wide receiver two type player that you want on your team as well. The fact that they also have Ricky Pearsall, who they just drafted in the first round, and him getting drafted in the first round, such a win for the Matt Harmon reception perception process. Just his reception perception chart just looked amazing, and nobody was talking about him too much, and started to get a little steam. All of a sudden, he's a first round wide receiver, and that he's the third wide receiver on this team is just insane. And realistically, to me, makes me think that this team could be looking for a forward to a future where they don't have Brandon Ayuk or they don't have Deebo Samuel. Like, that could very well be a possibility for this team. And I think it kind of comes down to if this Brandon Ayuk contract situation gets resolved. If that gets resolved this offseason, I would not be surprised to see Deebo Samuel being on his way out in the future, and vice versa. If Brandon Ayuk doesn't get it resolved, maybe he's out and then Ricky Pearsall kind of takes that spot. So Ricky Pearsall, I think, is in an awesome situation in terms of for future prospects, but you're interested in him more if Ayuk ends up getting traded away because of these contract problems. Juwan Jennings, I think he's really only a fantasy factor if Ayuk is for whatever reason not on the team. Jawan Jennings, a solid wide receiver three, but they just don't use the wide receiver three too much on this team, especially in the pass game. They kind of use it, focus a lot more of their targets into the Ayuk and Debo as opposed to letting Jawan Jennings get a lot. But I agree with you, Eric, as well on Jacob Counting. I think you just need to box him in as a roster spot because they drafted him in the fourth round, and then everyone else is fighting for probably one more roster spot. If I had to give the edge to anyone, my gut would say Chris Conley, but it realistically could be anyone. Any of these guys could end up doing it. And I could potentially see it being if one of these guys has punt return experience. I have not really looked into the punt returners here, just because the punt return guys usually aren't quite as important from a fantasy perspective. But if one of these guys ends up being the punt returner for this team, whereas previously it was Ray-Ray McCloud, I think that could be a reason to keep them as the sixth wide receiver over somebody else.
All right, so let's take a look here at the tight ends now here for the 49ers. So George Kittle, PFF grade last year was 87.7. He was first of 72 tight ends. Logan Thomas, who they just picked up from the Commanders, PFF grade last year was 57.1, 46 of 72. Definitely a nice upgrade there for the backup tight end spot. Braden Willis, a seventh rounder from 2023. Cameron Latu, a third rounder from last year in 2023. Eric Saubert, a veteran that's bounced around from about 17 different teams. Jake Tongs and Mason Plein, a UDFA from Furman this year. So they kept four tight ends last year. We'll see. I could see Kittle, Thomas, and one of Willis or Latu. Maybe they keep four again, but I'm kind of thinking it's going to be three between Kittle and Thomas, and then one of Willis and Latu. What do you have on the tight ends here, Kubo?
I think that the 49ers actually like Latu, at least in terms of how I saw them use him last year. So I think he probably ends up as a th he's a more of a lock for a third tight end for me than any of the other guys here. But obviously Kittle is the one that you want. Logan Thomas, I think being able to come in, it kind of helps with the with any two tight end sets they might want to run. He can block solidly, but he can also go out and run some routes and be effective there. So I think he actually it gives them a lot of flexibility in terms of being able to disguise what they're doing a little bit more because they are not having it kind of in the same way that George Kittle, he's a really good route runner, or they can leave him in to block because he is such a good blocker. I think that just having both of those guys it keeps them in that same mold of they aren't giving anything away by having those guys on the field. So I would not be surprised to see Logan Thomas actually have a decent snap share and they're running potentially more like a 12 personnel a lot more or something like that in having an extra Logan Thomas on the field. But I think a lot
Oh, go ahead.
I think Latu as the third tight end and then potentially, I want to root for Eric Saubert. I've just liked watching him over the past, but realistically, I'm kind of with you that I could see them only keeping three guys and just not even having a fourth tight end when the initial 53 man comes out.
Yeah, Logan Thomas is a former quarterback too, so I wouldn't be surprised you see some trick plays with him too, especially with Shanahan's ability to come up with some pretty creative stuff. So I would look out for that too. Let's go on to the 49ers offensive line. It was only 21st last year, surprising for a team that was really good on offense. But their left tackle is still Trent Williams. His PFF grade last year was 92.6, second of 81, so still a top-tier lineman in this league. Jalen Moore is his backup. Aaron Banks, who they've had for a couple years, is the left guard. His PFF grade last year was 52.8, 60th of 79, and Spencer Buford is the backup. Jake Brendel is the starter at center. His PFF grade last year was 66.3, 16th of 36 among tight ends, and Ben Barch is his backup. John Feliciano, who had a really fantastic season for them last year, PFF grade last year was 79.8, 5th of 79, and Dominic Puni, a third rounder who they drafted this year. Puni will get himself in trouble bending at the waist or letting his pads rise, but he plays big, powerful, and sends a harsh message with his hands while staying controlled through contact. He can play tackle if needed, but projects best as an NFL starting guard or center. So definitely a guard of the future for them. Maybe if Aaron Banks sucks again, they can kind of move him over to left guard. We'll see what happens there. Right tackle was Colton McKivitz. PFF grade last year was 65.2, 47th of 81. And Chris Hubbard, a swing tackle, is their backup now. Kick returner, punt returner, go ahead with those, Koopa.
Yeah, so this is another one of those teams where it could be a lot of different things. Personally, I think Isaac Garendo has a leg up in the kick return game. I think he had a lot of kick returns for Louisville. He's the kind of guy that you'd want back there kick returning anyway, being like a one cut speedster sort of guy. So I could see him being the kick returner for this team. Our lads like Celeste Jordan Mason and Ronnie Bell, and sure, those are two guys that could potentially be there, but the fact that they weren't doing it in the past makes me think that they don't have a leg up. Punt returner could be anybody. Our lads likes Ricky Pearsall and Trent Taylor. That could very easily be anybody else. I would not be surprised that it ends up being one of those multitude of wide receivers on this roster that they try them all out and they pick their favorite one, and that guy's the sixth wide receiver and he ends up being the punt returner. They could also even try out Isaac Garendo and just see how he does, but I don't think Isaac Garendo's kind of skill set necessarily is what you want back there as a punt returner.
And then the fantasy outlook here for the 49ers is pretty much the same thing as last year for me, status quo. Purdy should do, you know, he's going to have some weeks where he was like a top two or three quarterback in the whole league with multiple touchdown passes, so I can definitely see that again this year. McCaffrey, man, that guy is just electric. He scored like a touchdown in like 14 straight games or whatever it was last year. Definitely the consensus number one pick in most redraft leagues this year. Ayuk and Debo should still eat as long as their contracts are good. I am interested to see how Ricky Pearsall fits into this offense. They didn't use like Juwan Jennings a whole ton during the season. Like he had a couple spurts of some plays, but I think Ricky Pearsall would be used a lot more. So maybe they'd run more 31, you know, personnel, but we also talked about 22 with the two tight ends. So who knows? There's multiple different ways they can do it. And then George Kittle is George Kittle. He's still going to be really, really good. So excited for this team again. They should be division champions again, as long as they stay healthy.
Yeah, I think that this is another one of those teams. You want all the skill players and the quarterbacks, not too bad. Brock Purdy, yeah, he's not going to be a top five quarterback, but he'll solid quarterback 12 to 14 kind of quarterback that you can count on week after week. Yeah, I think that's exactly where he fits in. So if you're trying to just have a decent quarterback room and have your team win based on the skill positions, he's who you want. And some bad skill position players some guys that you'd want to fill those skill positions, probably everyone else on this team, because they're all going to do quite well compared to their relative competition.
All right, that is going to wrap it up here for the 49ers. We will be back with the last and final team preview of the offseason with the Seattle Seahawks.